chicken.
Gillette Stadium.
And the Boomer Esiason coming up in an hour at 8. And Gerard Mayo with us here sometime around 9 this morning. Joe, far be it from me to, when it comes to delaying Joe to get to work on time. Joe has to rush. So, Joe, hello. Good morning.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for taking my call. I literally just pulled in.
Listen, that's customer service. Jackson told me that you had to get to work, and I don't want your wait. This isn't Eversource where you call and you're on hold for 43 minutes. So what's up, Joe?
Well, thank you. My the points I wanted to make were, we can't blame Gerard Mayo for how he handled it. If you took any team that couldn't run the ball and got ran all over, I mean, what did they run, like 25 times in a row successfully there at the end? You would call them soft. But the other point I want to make is the defense may have gotten a little worse in the loss of Matthew Judon, but if you take Drake May and put him on last year's team, minus, most importantly, Mac Jones, I believe that team could do some damage.
All right.
That's all I wanted to say, and I appreciate it. My boss is going to yell at me if I don't go, but thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe. I mean, I don't know. Like, you look at the defense, and it has gotten steadily worse. And you said the excuse is going to be injuries, right?
Well, that's what Mayo said. You know what I mean? Mayo said that last week when we talked Barmore. He talked about Juwan Bentley. He talked about the two safeties that he felt like were the best safeties in the league when
everybody's
they're on the field.
Dealing with injuries, though. Like, you can't just.
But I guess he's saying when it's injuries to your key players, that's the most important thing. I mean, I know every team deals with injuries, but when it becomes your key players, he's saying defensively, that's our biggest issue.
Jacksonville was dealing with injuries as well. And before the game, Trevor Lawrence was asked about that, and he's like, you know, we've got guys that can step up, and we need to trust them.
But the Patriots don't. Exactly.
That's the mentality, though, that you need to have. You can't just say blame it on injuries. You should have had a backup plan to make sure that everybody was covered.
All right, we got a few leads left. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning.
By the way, how was your trip?
It was amazing.
It was
short.
You went to Miami?
Yeah,
we
got there Friday night, left very early yesterday morning.
Didn't look like the weather was good.
No, the weather was not good. And
El Nino.
Yeah, we had dinner plans on Friday that was on the roof, a restaurant called Water. It's a good sushi restaurant, and it's covered, but the sides are not, and the rain was like coming in. We had towels over our heads.
We were
soaked. But it was really, really fun. Thank you for asking. Taylor Swift, second time around, was even better than the first.
Excellent.
I had a blast. Yeah. Gosh, nothing angers middle-aged men on my Instagram more than posting about going to a concert, let me tell you.
Really?
Woo!
They were upset?
Yeah, and they were mad that there was a boy on the trip. I said it was a girl's trip.
Wow.
And they were mad.
There was a dude on the trip.
Yeah, and I posted a photo of me and one of my best friends in bed together, and people were upset about that, and
I
had to make it clear that we sent that exact photo to his boyfriend, TJ's boyfriend, and Santo, so to clear up any confusion.
You know who wouldn't go for that is Mr. Wiggins. He would not allow a social media post of Mrs. Wiggins in bed with anybody
else. And it's only fair if Santo got to recreate it with his boyfriend.
Right.
Sure, go for it.
Or his
girlfriend. He and Chad can have a blast.
Yes.
Anyway, Drake May deserves better. He deserves better from this franchise. He deserves better from the coaching staff. He deserves better from his teammates. What I saw on that field yesterday leads me to believe even more so that the plan that was talked about over and over again was to not play Drake May, was to just ride it out with Jacoby Brissett. And I thought Mike Lombardi, and I know that maybe we may disagree, the four of us, on this tweet, I thought that this was perfectly written. Mike Lombardi tweeted yesterday, "Why are the Patriots rebuilding and Washington winning when Washington was by far the worst team going into last season? Washington isn't blaming Rivera or even mentioning his name, but this is all Belichick's fault. Classic blame game. I love Gerard Mayo, but Curtis asked a great question last week when Gerard was sitting here with us and saying, why are there so many spots where you guys did not fill during the offseason?" And he said, "You tell me."
Right.
How I took that was he didn't want to say it was Belichick.
Right. Yeah, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe he means Elliott Wolf.
No.
Maybe. But to me,
they certainly took it like he was talking about them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
To me, that is not an excuse anymore. We can't just keep looking at Belichick. I thought that this was a perfect tweet.
So they blame Belichick, and yet they re-signed like half the roster.
Correct.
But,
right.
That doesn't make sense.
Correct.
On one side, though, like, so they let half the players he had leave. You can look at it both ways. Also, Didn't the Patriots play Washington last year?
Yes.
And
they lost.
You were at the game.
Yeah.
The Patriots lost.
Yes.
So how are they clearly a worse roster when they beat you last year with Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, on the sideline? Make that make sense.
I think they were pretty simpatico. Okay.
Lombardi's such a puppet. It's embarrassing.
He is such an embarrassment.
That one don't make sense, Curtis. That math ain't mathin' right there.
You have a better roster and the best coach of all time, and you lose at home?
Who do you think has a better roster right now, the Patriots or the Jaguars?
Jaguars.
Jaguars are a more talented roster.
Yes.
Okay. Then never mind.
All right. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I wonder... We talk about Gerard Mayo and the way he coaches. And I don't think that you can coach in today's era of football and come across as the nice guy that wants everybody to love him, even if you are a former player. And I don't know if players fear today's coaches like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be... very difficult to coach in an era where if you don't have a ton of talent, it becomes hard for you to get players to buy into the culture because these guys, it's about them. They become selfish, and it's about, even though it might be about the money, but even when you get the money, you're still selfish. It's like how you can talk to a guy, how you treat a player. And I don't know if a guy like Mayo can succeed with a roster that's not very talented with that type of personality. And I don't know.
So a guy like Gerard Mayo can't elevate today's player.
I don't think anybody can.
Well, Andy Reid seems to.
Now, Andy Reid has Patrick Mahomes.
And that's the one. That's Greg, it's a great way to bring it up because unless you have a quarterback that is perfectly embodying what you want to do as a disciple of your message. In other words, Patrick Mahomes is not the highest paid quarterback. He should be.
Right.
And he executes everything Andy Reid wants perfectly. So if you're a guard or a defensive end.
You don't say a word about it.
You don't say a word about it.
Patrick Mahomes isn't.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But that's also, Andy Reid didn't have that, but he obviously had that coaching ability.
Right.
He just needed a player that was going to.
And that's why I think that Mayo's struggling because he don't have those players or that player. And he doesn't have the Bill Belichick track record of fear where players might be like, whoa, I got to be careful of what I say. Because think about this.
It doesn't have to be just what you say, though. It's what you do. It's how you prepare. It's holding guys accountable.
Right.
It's there has to be a boss. And your boss, in most cases, can't also be your friend. It doesn't work that way.
It has never worked that way.
It
does not work. Bosses cannot be friends with their employees.
So perfect segue to my lead, and I'm curious, honestly curious what this means, but Kendrick Bourne spoke with Andrew Callahan after that game and said a lot of stuff last night, one of which was that I'll quote Kendrick Bourne, we've got to find ways from within to fight adversity. We know we're going to play at 9:30 through the week. We need to understand that. Maybe wake up earlier. Find ways to fight that adversity first. That's the first battle. Playing Jacksonville is the second battle. So Andrew Callahan asked him how you change that mentally, and he said, quote, that's personal decisions. Rather than staying up all night or eating, whatever. Whatever it is, whatever makes us be better, we have to make those decisions to be better so when we get to the game, we can be better. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means about staying. I mean, Curtis, you lived in London.
Yes.
Probably a lot of fun things to do late at night.
Oh.
Staying up all night before you have work the next day.
Getting a proper fish and chips at late night is delish.
Maybe not the best decision if that's what guys were doing. I don't know what that means.
But that also is like they started the game awesome. They were ready to go. It's just they pooped their pants
after. They started fast.
Maybe they were still going from the night before and they crashed.
The hangover. The ninja hangover.
The second the Jaguars took the lead, Greg and Courtney and Wiggy, didn't you know they were going to lose? Like, there was no part of me.
No, I have that weird optimist view on that. I always think they're going to. I'm like,
I love your outlook on the world.
Well, I'm like, this is the. Drake May looks so good.
So good.
That I'm like, they can't. There's no way they can lose this football game.
That's how you felt, but then that turned very quickly to once you stopped it.
That punt return where he wasn't even touched.
Oh, my God.
And you see the offense, and you
kind of... They just gave Schooler 3 years and $9 million. Yeah.
It's just bad.
Greg's awful. Been bringing up a lot about how the fans have just, like, lost interest. I had to watch the game on my flight yesterday, and usually years pass, if I'm on a flight where there is a game being played, a Patriots game being played, we're on JetBlue, every screen was playing Patriots. Right. I got up at one point to just look around and see no one.
Yeah, interesting you say that, because I think the exact opposite was true at least around here, which I think is sad for the Patriots, because I think Drake May brought some interest back.
Yeah. Right.
And Curtis is ill, so he stood me and Brees up. Stood us up for brunch yesterday, but we went to Lincoln at 9 o'clock in the morning. Place is jammed.
Awesome.
Like, and it's all Patriots fans, like, all there because purely because of Drake May.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
And they are squandering that.
Yeah.
They're squandering that interest.
And I bet they thought that this was the get right week against Jacksonville. And clearly it worked the other way.
I have a question, Greg. Can you be honest?
Yes.
Have you ever thought about flying JetBlue on Super Bowl Sunday so you have a bigger screen than you have at home?
I have not thought about that, but I should give that a try. All right. And especially if the Super Bowl is in London.
Ooh.
All right.
Jolly.
We're going to get to They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports next. Right now, Courtney and what is trending this hour.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Patriots fall 1-1-6 on the season with a loss across the pond to Jacksonville. 32-16 was the final. Drake May completed 26 of 37 passes for 276 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Jerod Mayo saying what everyone was thinking when it comes to who this team is at this point of the season.
Disappointing game. We came out, we started fast. What I would say is, look, we're a soft football team across the board. You talk about what makes a tough football team, that's being able to run the ball, that's being able to stop the run, and that's being able to cover kicks, and we did none of those today. They controlled the ball for most of the day. You know, their run game averaged over 4.5 yards a carry. Our run game, not sure what the average was, but it wasn't good. Look, back to the drawing board. I mean, we can't sit here and pout. We just got to put a game together.
We'll get to talk to the Patriots head coach this morning in the 9 o'clock hour. And congratulations to Shime. He did hit the over 42. That was his lock on Friday.
I'm going to be honest. I sweated it out a little bit there. I didn't think that Jacksonville would actually pound it into the end zone there at the end of the game. I thought they'd knee it out, but thanks to them, they ran it in.
Also, is the go for two argument ever going to be put to rest in this country?
I'm sorry. That was awful. That was a moment where you're good with Bill Belichick. Belichick never goes for two.
We have a lot of big issues on the table that we need to solve in this country, but can we just solve that one?
I would love it. And Sean, be honest, you were sweating before the score.
I don't get that go for two one there. Kick the field goal, and then if you do score, now you know you got to go for two in a situation where, all right, if you don't make it, get the ball back and kick a game-winning field. It just made no
sense. People are arguing on both sides, though.
I don't think you can really argue on the other side, because you got the ball back. You got the ball back knowing that, okay, if you would have just kicked the extra point, you had to score a touchdown. And then, granted, you got to make the two-point conversion. But by going for it there, when you get the ball back, you're now down by 9.
Yep. Yeah. The late game last night, even a reunion with Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, couldn't get a Jets win over the Steelers. 37-15 was the final. Aaron Rodgers had 2 interceptions in this one, while Russell Wilson threw for 264 yards and 2 touchdowns. Injury-wise, Deshaun Watson looks like he tore his Achilles in yesterday's Browns 21-14 loss to the Bengals. Speaking of Achilles, how's yours?
It's getting better.
Okay.
Still painful. But I saw there were two. I think Brandon Ayuk, same thing.
I thought it was his knee. Brandon.
Yeah, no, Ayuk had a knee injury.
Okay, because they were talking early about it being Achilles. But
that replay was brutal.
Oh,
on Ayuk.
God.
Yeah. Oh.
But also, when it comes to the Achilles, and he can just see it snap and go up the side of the calf.
Yeah.
I actually thought of you, Greg.
I know.
Right.
I mean, it's really...
Stretch. There's exercise, though, you bet. But stretch. Especially you, Greg.
I stretch a lot. Dan stretches me out.
Achilles stretch. All right.
Trainer Dan is stretching me constantly.
Okay, good.
Full stretch.
You were stretching those suit pants at the Celtics dinner the other night, too.
Jesus. Shime. Whoa.
You were the one who said it earlier that if it zips, it fits.
I can say that. I mean, I'm talking about myself.
Oh,
You know, you make fat jokes about me all the time. It's okay.
The Dodgers are headed to the World Series to take on the Yankees after a 10-5 win over the Mets in Game 6 of the NLCS yesterday. The World Series will kick off on Friday. And the New York Liberty became WNBA champs with a 67-62 overtime win last night over the Minnesota Lynx. And today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is cheap chicken for $6.99 each. That's right, cheap chicken is $6.99 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Greg, I saw a cavalcade of stars at Lobster Traps Oyster Bash on Saturday in Bourne.
It was great. Weather was fantastic. They served these grilled oysters that had lobster butter on them.
Wow.
They were to die for. Raised a ton of money for the foundation. Rob Ninkovich was there. Christian Arcan was there. We had a great, an unbelievable day on the Cape.
And Bullet.
And Bullet was there.
The star.
Bullet was there. And then we went for bar pizza at the Trading Post Lounge after. I would put it in my top five.
Looks very good.
Unbelievable bar pizza.
I got to tell you, when the pepperoni curves like that on top.
Yeah, you like that?
Perfect. 50 degrees in Boston. Look out. Going to be near 80 today.
Shine. Spoiler alert.
Does that sting?
That, yes, the police. And that figures prominently in last night's episode of The Penguin. I'm sure you didn't watch because you were probably in bed last night, Sean.
I was. I was in bed before halftime of that Jets game.
Oh, I got to watch that today.
Excellent. Wiggy, excellent.
All right,
excellent.
I'm going to watch it today.
A little bit of a comeback. I didn't like the episode before.
All right.
But from my perspective, made a comeback last night.
All right.
What, Curtis?
Have you seen the screener that Ken sent us?
I have not watched it yet.
I enjoyed it. I'm almost done. And put that on in the background while I was watching The Patriots' Demise. And there are things in the Netflix documentary 20 years after the 04 Sox said by John Henry when he first became the owner about John Harrington that you could say today about John Henry.
Yes.
And the inability for him to understand that is shocking.
Now, that is, Curtis is referring to The Comeback. Is that what it's called?
The Comeback. It's a three-part series. It is excellent, minus, I give it an A because that's just the 04 Sox, but minus the first 20 minutes, which all these series do where it's like bad Boston accent, fake fans talking about the curse. Yeah. Like, we know it.
Yeah. And I think that debuts on Wednesday, I believe, on Netflix. And it's all at once, so you can
get all three episodes.
You can binge, right? All right. Let's get to this, Shine.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Mondino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
We are at Gillette Stadium. It's a Patriots Monday. Boomer Esiason coming up at 8 with his thoughts on this week in the NFL. And then Gerard Mayo will join us here at around 9 this morning. But right now, what they said over the weekend, where would you like to begin this morning, Sean?
Yeah, Greg, let's begin with Jameis Winston talking about Deshaun Watson yesterday after the game. Deshaun Watson went down with an apparent popped Achilles, and the fans kind of reacted with like some cheers and some boos. It was kind of a weird thing for the Cleveland fans. Jameis Winston was not happy about it. Here's what he said in support of Deshaun Watson.
I'm grateful that I had a chance to serve Deshaun, but I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years. And he put his body and life on the line for this city every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him. He committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team. And I know I come from the deep south, Birmingham, Alabama, Bethlehem, Alabama. So I know the standard that hungry fans want. But the way I was raised, I will never pull on a man when he's down. I tell myself every morning, what I want for myself, I want for everyone. And I do not want the treatment that Deshaun Watson has received from these passionate fans. I know you love this game, but Deshaun was treated badly. And now he has to overcome another obstacle. So I'm going to support him. I'm going to lift him up. And I'm going to be there for him.
Okay.
James. I mean, wow. Listen. Miles Garrett also was talking about how what a guy Deshaun Watson, I'm paraphrasing, but what a guy he was on and off the field. Like, I mean, I get it. Fans probably should not be cheering somebody getting hurt or booing him while he's lying on the ground. But at the same time, they're doing it because of the other stuff.
Yeah, like, that's classless, though. Separate the two.
Yeah, I don't think you should cheer or boo if somebody gets hurt. Like, you should keep that stuff separate, like what you said. But, Jameis, it falls on deaf ears when you look at your track record off the field. Like, for somebody who loves the game and worked for a conference that Jameis played for while Jameis was playing there and went through reporting on everything that he was accused of, like, that's when I'm like, dude, why do you feel like you should be the mouthpiece to talk about this?
And the world was against him, it seems, for reasons that are not too wrong, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's not some martyr.
No.
I mean, yeah, but I think Jameis is just like, separate the two. But the problem is people can't separate the two. That becomes the issue.
Is that the worst contract in NFL history?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's not even close.
Yeah, it's pretty, pretty bad.
I mean, is he done? Like, is he gonna, will he play again next year?
I think he's done.
They must owe him $100 million. Yeah. Like, how much was guaranteed?
$230 million. I think he still tries to play. But I don't know, when I say it's not even the physical part of it, I think the mental part has got to him, and that's where I think he's done in that element. So even if he does come back, I just think mentally he's not the same, and you know, he might be a backup at best, but he's done in that element of being a good quarterback that we once saw.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, let's go from one athlete being upset with fans to another former athlete who's upset with a player. Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce do their podcast together.
Okay.
And Kevin Garnett went off on Joel Embiid and his like load management and not playing a lot of games and practices. Kevin Garnett was not happy.
What do you think is a good number of games he played?
82 games, man. This is what the job calls for. You're not practicing. You're not even playing a whole you don't play in the summer.
Right.
I can see if you playing in the summer, you're on the playground, you went to the Olympics, then it's training camp. Y'all do 30 days of tour days. Okay, that's when you get rest. Man, I don't want to hear this, man. And sit out a back-to-backs. Hey, listen, we're done with that comparison of the era. We're going to respect this era and what it does, and that's it. I don't compare nobody and none of this because you can't. If you ain't played, man, listen.
I think that's going to hurt Philly.
That's going to hurt Philly from not even that. But, bro, one night I got P, next P, next night I ain't got it.
I love it. I love it. Like, you have to pay so much. These fans pay so much to go to these NBA games, mm-hmm. and they don't get to see their stars.
No. And like he said, it's just a different era. You know, he played 82 maybe back in his day. And, you know, I do the same thing with guys that when I watch football and I watch the NFL, it's a different era. And yeah, we could sit here on our, like, what do they say, old man yelling at the lawn or whatever the hell it is.
Well, yelling at clouds.
Yelling at clouds, yelling at the lawn. It doesn't make a difference. We sit here and we bitch and complain about it. But the era is different. I just hate to say it. You know, it's like I enjoy football today as a fan, but I understand the era is different. I don't knock them because this is their era. At times, I question them.
But what about when you hear Paul Pierce say that Embiid is hurting his team's chances?
Well, they don't feel that way.
They don't
like
feel that way.
Million.
Yeah.
Do you think they care about the regular season?
No.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think it's so sad for me because it's like, it's not that I'm balding or I'm bald or I'm gray if I do have hair or I sound like this. The best sign that you're old are the people you watched growing up and loved sounding like that old fan. Like, sounding like the get off my lawn. Like, I love Kevin Garnett. Nobody was better for that 07 team than he was. But it's like, because of you, Kevin, and the $150 million deal you got, rightfully so, these guys are making all the money. Right. You're going to have a case where players are valued more than their franchise.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable, the NBA.
Mark Cuban said you might see a billion-dollar player.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And but I think But like,
he also said the world was going to end in 2015.
Well, I didn't know he said that. But I also think that...
Also, not a good look with the glasses and the hair. I don't know what he's trying...
What happened to him?
I don't know.
He became this ultra-political operative.
Yeah. But I think the thing that in basketball and just in sports in general, I think guys like Joel Embiid, they might have respected KG, but I don't even really think they care about his opinion, because for them, when he played, it was like, bro, that was light years ago. Like, so even when we talk about Mayo being a former player, you really think these guys know about Mayo as a player? Or Tom Brady as a player?
I would hope they do.
Greg, they don't.
It wasn't that long ago that Gerard Mayo played Wiggy.
But if they don't, because you said, and I told you about training camp for all teams NFL, they did a funny thing with the Kansas City Chiefs where guys were walking out and they said, who's the greatest basketball player of all time? Jordan or LeBron? You know how many guys were saying LeBron?
Well, that's what you say.
No, I say still Jordan. Okay. But guys don't know and care about these players. For them, it's like Sting or the Beatles. Who the hell is that?
This isn't a slight to you. It's just facts. Like, right. When we've had players, current players, that call the show, and you always say, you know, the snow game Jermaine Wiggins.
Yeah. They're like, what's that? The snow game. Like, what the hell is that? Unless Belichick puts it up in the meeting, what he used to do, these guys don't know about the snow game. They don't give a crap about that. I mean, they really don't. Yeah. So I think Joel Embiid's probably sitting there going,
who's Kevin Garnett?
I don't think he's at that point of who's Kevin Garnett, but he's probably like, listen, man, when you played, that was like a long time ago.
Yeah. All right, what else, Shine?
Well, Greg, I think it's only appropriate that we hear from my guy post-game, Drake May. He started the game real hot, and then unfortunately for him in the second half, the Patriots possessed the ball for 8.5 minutes out of the total 30 possible minutes in the second half. And so here was Drake on starting fast but needing to be more consistent.
Yeah, but I think other than maybe one or two other games this season, we hadn't started fast in a while. It was kind of something new for us. So, proud of the guys for starting fast. I think I had KB open on the third down there. On the second drive, maybe punch one in. Punch another one in, and maybe a different ball game. So maybe a couple throws here and there. For me as well. And then other than that, we just got to, I guess, just find out ways to get first downs. And I feel like the Jags did a nice job of time possession. Shoot, we had for a while there in the second half, one drive the whole half until the end. So credit to them. And then just got to, work harder, find something different.
I like that kid.
I like that. I like the way he presents himself. And he said, went on to say that they're not tough enough. And,
right.
And he includes himself in
right.
it. And he, you can't say anything. If there's one guy that you can't say anything bad about yesterday, it's Drake May.
Yeah.
And the play calling is not his. So,
no. I mean, he's going to make some mistakes. There are a couple throws you're like,
but it's
whatever. That's,
well, I mean, I, not really.
Yeah, there was a couple.
There were two yesterday.
Dropped interceptions. You were like, whew.
Yeah, by the goal line.
The crossing right across the field that he was threw off his back foot was a terrible throw and should have been a pick six, but it wasn't. He got lucky. And then the other one by the end zone to Hooper, it was like a miscommunication. I think he thought Hooper was going to sit, but instead Hooper ran the corner, and so he just threw it directly at the safety.
But those don't bother me because he is young and he's still growing.
He didn't throw anything like Purdy threw. Holy cow.
Oh, my God. That guy stinks.
Holy smokes. I love the way he talks about how he could have did this or he could have did better at this or it was his fault. Like that shows accountability. It is interesting to see this whole soft element thing, though, because I know it's because as a player, when your coach calls you soft, you tend to question what that what are you saying?
He's
turning stuff down.
He's doing it, I assume, to call them out.
Right.
That's what Gerard Mayo has. I guess he'll tell you when he gets in here, and we will talk a lot about it with him. He's going to tell you that he's reached the point 7 games in where he needs to call these guys out publicly. He did it. Drake May said he did it in the locker room. Jelani Tavai said he did it. Said the exact same thing to them in the locker room that he said to the media. So,
Is it a message now, though, not to the players as much as it is the people he works for?
I don't.
Why are you sharing that publicly as opposed to just saying it to the?
No, I'm saying that Gerard Mayo didn't pick the roster. he thinks the roster is soft. He's tried telling the players that. It hasn't worked. I'm not saying I agree. I'm not agreeing.
So he's telling the media.
No, that, like, we built a soft team. Elliot Wolf.
But
and,
I think you're looking at soft as talent. When I think
right.
he's looking, I don't think he means.
But if you have a soft player, it doesn't matter if they're talented.
I think he's talking about effort.
He's talking about effort.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, soft, are you turning down tackles because you don't want to stick your nose in there and you're being soft because we're down by 10 points?
Yeah, I took it as that.
Right. Versus where
no,
we're.
I agree. That's what it is. But if a player is soft, you wouldn't want them on your team.
No. I understand that, but like, there's an element.
Well, Curtis, he coached most of these guys on his defense last year.
I know. My question today is going to be: I hope he doesn't, you know, prepare for this, but it's pretty simple. Was the team soft last year?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question.
Because how do you answer that? And then why were you wanting to have this job to coach all these players if they were soft?
Because he brought up the punt return, and he brought up the rush yards, and he brought up the inability to run. So that might mean on the punt return. I don't think it's because people were soft. I just think that they out-schemed you, did a better job. But are you seeing on film guys actually turning down plays? Remember we talked about the Jack Jones?
Yes.
Where he didn't want to get in there? If I'm sitting there and I'm watching that as a coach, like, that's soft.
That's soft.
Right. Yeah. If you just miss a tackle and the guy runs through you and you're not able to get him a down or you have poor technique, that don't necessarily mean that you're soft.
Right.
So that's where I'm trying to figure out. A guy's like just like – turning stuff down, and you could see that on film, like, wow, these guys, it goes back to your point, Courtney, of pride, but more so not trying.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's what he's saying. I mean, I there have been guys, you brought up Devon Godchow, he has said that they weren't playing with pride.
But I see, mean, that I, falls back on Mayo, because if
it
a
does.
Guy, if
it's
a guy's,
all on him.
If a guy's playing soft or he's
I mean, it's on the players, but that's his job.
No, it's on the players, but if a guy is turning down, and Courtney was the only one that was on this, if he's turning down stuff or he's not playing with pride or he's being lazy, then it's your job as the coach to sit his ass on the bench and let the other guy play. But you talked about that with Ramondre Stevenson, where you're like, oh, he's fumbling, we're going to sit him down, but you sat him down.
Would you want Jalen Polk on this football team today if you were him, if you were the head coach?
No, I would sit his ass down. I would sit his ass down and play schooler before I play Jalen Polk. Even though Polk is the better player, has more talent, it's about guys buying in.
But why
I'll take a guy, and this is the difference. Bill will take a guy who buys in with less talent than a guy who has more talent and don't buy in.
But why do you think Jalen Polk remains on the roster?
Well, because he's basically your first pick in the second round.
Right.
You can't cut him.
Who picked him?
Well, Elliot Wolf of them picked him.
Who told Jerod Mayo he can't start Drake May week one?
Well, Elliot, I'm with you on that.
So aren't you getting what I'm saying here? That the organization is running as dysfunctional as it's ever been after an offseason where they said they were all about collaboration.
Right. Yeah.
And we sit here today where all of what you're saying is right. That is soft play.
Right.
But Mayo's like, what? How can I win if you're using a pick on this guy who not only sucks, if it's possible, he's a worse teammate than he is a receiver.
But he was good. And listen, he was good in Washington. Some guys just are not good when they get to the NFL. When he was at Washington, the Huskies.
Well, that's the job of the college director.
But you're going to miss on guys. Like you're going to
miss on Tyquan Thornton. It's the same pick.
No, I understand that. But I don't blame Elliot Wolf for Jalen Polk's performance. He picks a guy that he thinks can play at this level and looks like he has all the tools and all the talent, all the skill level. But Jalen Polk mentally is in his head when it comes to him catching the football.
That's a big part, though. Isn't the mental aspect of it and how guys handle themselves or how they present themselves? Like, why even have interviews with these guys if you don't care about how they can handle, seasons that may not go in their favor? I think that you are able to look at a player, take talent out of it, and be able to decide, all right, this is a guy who can buy in to whatever we want them to buy in on and is not going to go on Instagram after a terrible loss where you sucked and put a black screen with .. peace
but
out.
How are they supposed to know that?
I think you're able to tell. That's your job.
But if the player's never had any issue, how are you supposed
to? That's not an issue. It's not like he was getting arrested.
No,
personality-wise, I think it takes a certain personality that says, I'm above this. And
I guess if you're Elliot Wolf, you don't know that when you're interviewing the guy at the combine, and you go to see him, and he's telling you all the right – Courtney, you've been on a million job interviews, telling you all the right things. You don't know how a person is until you get in the building. Like, you don't
But that's
know.
Why you check references, Wiggy. Yeah. You don't just talk to the person. You talk to other people around him.
Guess what?
Why do the Steelers always draft receivers later than the Patriots that are better than the guys the Patriots think?
Because the Steelers know how to do it.
Right.
But they also hit on a guy. I mean, just some guys can play and some guys
but
can't.
When was the last time this team took a guy in the second round that could play receiver?
Now, listen, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you there.
And some of them are the best quarterback and coach of all time coaching.
But guess what? They hit on Pop Douglas.
In the sixth round.
They hit on Booty. Yeah. So it's not.
I mean,
I think Booty looks
a little early.
Yeah, but what I'm saying in the sense that they look good, like Jalen Polk, he looks like he can't catch a cold.
Right.
And he's an asshat to boot.
Yes.
Like, give me a break. Mm-hmm. Best hands in the NFL.
Ugh.
Right.
Try standing up long enough to catch the football when you're, near the end zone.
I haven't felt that, fan rage in a while, but watching him is enraging.
Nuts. All right, we're going to take a break. We're at Gillette Stadium. It's a Patriots Monday. Boomer Esiason will join us coming up at 8. We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday after a demoralizing loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars in London, England. And coming up, we'll talk to Boomer Esiason in about 10 minutes at 8. And then 8:45, your next chance to win VIP seats for Lunch with a Hero, so you can bring your hero who has served this country on the Friday of Veterans Day weekend. That is November 8th. We'll be at the American Heritage Museum doing our show in the morning, and then Lunch with a Hero at the 110 Grill afterwards. So 8:45, give you a chance to be at that, and then Gerard Mayo will join us at around 9 or so here at Gillette on a Patriots Monday. This is Mike from Revere. Mike, good morning.
There is no Mike. Mike,
what about Rick?
Out.
Is Rick there?
Rick is there, yep.
Oh, Rick from Portsmouth. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I really appreciate the show. And I mostly appreciate Curtis just keeping it real and just, keeping focused on the real issue. Because honestly, I think Gerard Mayo should be fired. This team is soft, and he is responsible for the culture. This is penalty prone, just a dumb football team, and he's responsible for it. And I think what Robert Kraft needs to do is put some forward thinking people in his organization and stop making decisions 5 years before something's going to happen.
Thank you. I mean, would you rather Mike Vrabel were coaching this football team right now if you had your choice?
I don't think there's a chance, unless you give him $30 million a year, that Mike Vrabel would come here.
$30 million a year?
No, that's what Belichick got. If you get, I don't think Mike Vrabel, if he has an option that is similar in the salary structure. This is the worst football job in America right now.
Yeah, but are they selling it in a different way? Like, would they have told Mike Vrabel, no, that you've got the keys, you can do whatever you want? Because I think collectively we all believe that they told that to Gerard, that Gerard was told something different than how it's played
out. But not to the roster. I think that what Robert Kraft said to Charlamagne the God last week, that he needed more checks and balances, which precludes you from doing that with a guy like Mike Vrabel.
I don't know, but when you say that Gerard Mayo was sold a bill of goods or whatever, and what do you mean by that?
I think that's the reason why he came on, said we're going to burn some cash. I think that they told him, we are going to open this up. Whatever you want, we are going to do. Whoever you want to be the starting quarterback, you get to choose that. You are our head coach. You get to make all the final decisions.
Bigger voice.
And that's not what has played out. I think that the way in which Gerard Mayo answers questions in season has alluded to that.
But he started off, I think, his very first press conference essentially telling you that it was going to be a very collaborative effort between he and Elliott Wolf.
And I don't think it has been.
Yeah, we don't believe that. Do you buy that?
That's what he thought it was going to be?
No, I'm
collaborative means that one guy's doing this, one guy's doing this, you're collaborating.
Right.
I assume that's what, unless he sits here and says that it's not working, that's what's been going on.
Do you think if Mayo said week one, we're starting Drake May, Do you think he has the power to do that?
I would hope he does.
But do you think he does, based on what we've kind of seen? Do you think that he was on the side of sitting May in week one, or do you believe he might have wanted to start him in week one, but people that are higher up said, we're not going to start him?
We can go over every single decision, what he can and can't do. What I'm asking is, did a guy who heard his owner stand up there and say the previous GM/coach had too much say in what the organization was doing, think it was going to be the exact same thing that he was going to get when he took that job?
No, I think he was
told that it was going to be collaborative, and it has not been. I think that Gerard Mayo has had very little say. Like that's where I'm coming from. I don't think that Gerard Mayo went into this thinking he was going to be Bill Belichick all over again. But all we were told was that this was going to be collaborative, and everything I have seen since then is that Gerard Mayo's had to walk back things that he said. I don't believe that he wanted Jacoby Brissett to start week one. I think that he has gotten very little say in a team that he is the head coach of.
I think you both make. I'm a bridge builder. I think you're right, and you're right. And Wiggy's always right.
Thank you.
So the best way to make the argument that they'd be better today if Bill was still here is to say the vacuum in the football decision department was filled by someone who should never have more power, and that is the ownership wing. So there was not enough checks and balances, according to Kraft, but the way they fixed that problem was by giving more power to people that have shown no ability to make accurate football decisions.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to argue whether this team would be better right now with Bill Belichick or Gerard Mayo, and you're telling me that essentially the only thing Gerard Mayo does is in-game coaching, then I would, you know, fight you till the end of time that Bill Belichick is a much better in-game coach and would be handling that much better than Gerard.
Right, and see, the issue that I have, and I think there's some collaboration going on. The only problem that I have is that there's not a line drawn in the sand where everybody knows their roles. Like, Elliott Wolf, his role should be to go get the players that fit the system of Gerard Mayo and his coaches. Look for those guys. How much money could we potentially be paying guys? Who are we looking for on the trade market that fits the system? And then Mayo should have the ability to say, okay, once we get these guys, we determine who starts, where they fall on the depth chart, those type of things. I don't think Mayo has that capability. Even if he says he does, and I don't think he had it with his coaches, like who I want to hire. Even if he says it's Drake May is his decision, I believe, my opinion, he wanted to start Drake May in week one.
Yes.
Yeah, I just think you and I are going to – I think you're making excuses for him, and that's fine. I just don't – the things that he is handling, quote-unquote, are not – they're not running smoothly. The players appear – some of them appear to be in full – revolt mode.
Yes, that's on Mayo.
That's on him.
Yes,
he feels a bit like a mutiny, Greg.
It's correct. Are there any in-game adjustments? Like what is
that's on Mayo?
What does he do at halftime?
Right.
Like, what is he in there? Like what? Like that? There's none of that.
Right. And that's all. I get that. That's you're spot on, Greg. When you say those things concern you, that rightfully so, and those are
tackling,
all on Mayo.
Tackling, basic
Mayo.
Tackling. Penalties.
Mayo.
The defense being unable to stop the run.
Mayo.
Okay.
Those are all the things.
Yeah.
The only thing that we disagree on is I think that when it came to Mayo making the decision on who was going to start at quarterback, and that's a big part of, I think, why their record is where they are.
Yeah. All right. We got to take a break. We will be with Boomer Esiason next on week 7 in the NFL.